leapt off the platform, running full out for the mages, shield and sword raised. One looked just like the dead mage who'd nailed me with the poison. His twin brother. Unlike the mage who had hit me with the potion bomb and had worn a hideous blue leather jacket, this one wore a sleek, three-piece suit. The other was a hulking blonde man, wearing a horrible gold trek suit. "Where is Ricketts?" I demanded as I neared. Maybe we'd get lucky, and they'd tell us.
"Hell if we're telling you!"
The mage's brother flung out his hand. An electrical whip snapped through the air, coming right for me. Right, so that had failed. I raised my shield. The electric whip cracked off the metal. The shock sent vibrations up my arm, but it didn't electrocute me. The shield was backed by rubber. I wasn't a total noob. But Cade needed to park the car and get here ASAP, because magic was starting to glow around Goldie. He was about to get into the action, and I didn't want to fight off too.
"Your brother hit me with the Lithica poison," I shouted. "That means Ricketts wants me to come to him. Where is he?"
"Like I can trust you?"
He struck again, this time going low. I barely managed to shield myself in time. The whip cracked against the metal. The man next to him growled, his magic glowing even stronger, a bright light that flared as he grew larger. His muscles popped, and he shot up 4 feet in height, like some Transformer doll or the Hulk. Except that he was an unfortunate peachy color and looked like a 12-foot-tall, roided-up bodybuilder. Cade's footsteps thundered behind me as he approached. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw him shift into a massive wolf, then lunge for the giant. Holy crap! He was no ordinary shifter. Apparently the god thing gave him some extra juice, because he was 4 times the size of a normal wolf. I left him to it, raising my blade as the mage across from me powered up his magic. Fortunately, he needed a few seconds between blasts.
"Seriously, man?" I shouted. "I need to know where Ricketts is. The potion proves he wants to see me."
"Tony didn't mention nothing about no Lithica potion."
He snapped out with his whip, which I barely avoided.
"You think we're idiots? We got protocol, lady. Ricketts keeps his location a secret. A lot of people want him dead, but none of us squeal on him. That's the point. If you have to nail someone with a Lithica curse, only you deliver Ricketts' location."
Dang, he was red in the face. Pretty pissed, really. And he was not going to give up the location of Ricketts. I knew what commitment looked like, and this guy had it. That meant we had to search the house. The growls and shrieks from nearby indicated that Cade was taking care of his goon, so I just had to handle mine. I lunged for him, just as he struck out with his electrical whip. I blocked it, then swung my sword. He danced back, faster than I could see.
"Super speed, too."
He grinned evilly, raising his hand again.
"I am going to fuck you up, rip out your intestines, and turn them into a bow."
Right then. Super speed plus electrical whip equaled, this was not a sword fight. I stashed my sword in the ether, then flung out my hand, aiming a moderate-sized sonic boom at him. I just knock him unconscious and start searching the house. It exploded out of me like a freight train, bowling him over and destroying half of the house in a shower of glass and metal.
Shit!
I stumbled back, muscles suddenly weak. I'd blown all my magic in one go, and that dude was definitely dead. Okay, that had been bad. I looked over in time to see Cade tear the throat out of the big man and leap off of him. Blood and gore dripped down his muzzle. He was as tall as me in this form, and a good 200 or 300 pounds heavier. I swallowed hard.
"Hey, Cade, please don't eat me."
I'd used up all my magic, unintentionally, and did not want to get eaten as a result. Silver light swirled around him, and he transformed back to human, dressed and with no blood coating his face. His gaze traveled over the half-destroyed house.
"It's hard to search a house when it's rubble," he said.
"I know. But I really didn't want to explain how I lost control."
"You're half-shifter?"
"No. Wolves were important to the Celts. Warrior dogs. It's part of my god power. I don't qualify as a shifter, and wouldn't be welcome at Glencaro.
Glencaro was the Alpha Council's secretive headquarters. If they knew what an ally Cade could be, I'd bet they'd invite him in. He looked like he was about to ask me about the catastrophe that I'd caused, so I jumped in. Cool. Let's go check the house. I hurried toward the front door. It had once been a double door, but only one was left. The whole right side of the house was now rubble. Please let their rooms be on the left. I yanked open the remaining door and hurried into a massive living room that was half destroyed. Cade followed.
We'll talk about this later.
Not if I can help it. Can't wait! All the couches were gone, but an urn sat on the coffee table. There's the mage.
Aye, brother must have brought him back.
I winced, guilt streaking through me over the death of two brothers. They'd been evil assholes out to kill me, but still. Ignoring the urn, I hurried toward the door on the left. A quick survey showed a closet full of three-piece suits. It's the brother's room. Cade looked up from where he'd been looking into the small garbage bin.
Trash is full of receipts from Venice, dated last month.
That's in Europe. I left the room, going to the next. The closet in this one revealed a collection of giant tracksuits. Strike out.
Let's look anyway.
We found more receipts from Venice from 6 weeks ago. Looks like more than a coincidence, I said.
Here's hoping for three.
We left the room and found the final bedroom on the upper floor. The closet contained colorful leather jackets. Red, orange, blue. Bingo. Thank fate I hadn't destroyed this room. This is his room. I hurried to the desk while Cade grabbed the little garbage bin. I rifled through papers for a few moments while he searched.
Nothing in here, he said.
That's because he hasn't thrown them out yet. I held up a handful of receipts. Also Venice. Dated last week.
Then none of them were traveling together.
Not a vacation. They were going to get their orders. And it seems that Ricketts runs an organized operation. They saved the receipts so they could submit them for reimbursement. Cade nodded.
Good work.
Stupid trail, though. But I grinned, grateful for the slip-up. We needed all the help we could get. This place was protected, but not well enough.
Not from us.
Cade smiled warmly at me, the corners of his beautiful eyes crinkling. Wind swept his dark hair off his face and pressed his sweater to his muscular chest. Butterflies started dancing in my stomach.
We make a good team.
Warmth glowed in my chest, joining the butterflies down below. A connection. We definitely had one. And we'd done this together. Okay, whoa, Nelly. Feeling warm fuzzies about a dude was the first step toward a relationship. Yikes. Relationships were a bad idea. They required trust. I was not good at that, and I couldn't afford it anyway. Not the way my magic was going haywire lately. If they knew what I really was, Anna and I would be out on our asses. No more help from the undercover protectorate. And I wanted to be damn sure I'd get my hands on that cure before we parted ways. Let's get out of here, I said. I bet more than three people lived in a house this big. The others might be back soon.
Good plan.
We hurried out of the house, headed back toward Nix's car. Exhaustion pulled at me as I climbed into the passenger seat. Cade had the keys, and I was on shaky legs already. He could drive. I'd used up all my magic, and hadn't actually slept in what felt like days. We'd gone straight from Death Valley to this. Cade turned the car on and pulled away from the house.
I have an underworld contact in Venice. If Ricketts is there, she'll probably know about them.
Good. Another lead.
It'll be evening in Scotland. We'll sleep tonight and start in the morning.
As much as I wanted to start hunting the cure immediately, I desperately needed a bit of sleep. At least sometime tonight. And my magic was totally out. It'd take a while to recoup all that I'd blown. All right. After a few moments, Cade broke the silence.
Did you mean to destroy the house?
I wanted to say yes, not to admit to my wonky magic. But there was literally no way I could. No one would destroy the house they wanted to search. Sometimes I put a little too much juice on my magic. His gaze turned to my face, thoughtful.
And your friend said that your magic is stronger.
Shit. He had been listening. But I couldn't let him realize that's what was happening to me. That I was maybe changing from an unknown into... what? I wore a magic-repressing charm when I saw her last. Please buy that. Those things did technically exist, though I'd never gotten my hands on one.
Really?
He sounded skeptical. Yep.
Either way, your lack of control could be a problem in Venice.
No kidding. My magic was all about blowing stuff up. And everywhere I looked, there were either people or valuable historic buildings. Not the place for me. I'll just stick to my weapons. I can handle anything with those. The corner of his mouth tugged up.
I believe that. You're damned skilled.
He drove down Factory Row and parked the truck in the alley.
I think I can probably get you a charm that will help you control your magic. It's a temporary fix, because the charm's magic fades. You'll have to train hard to get your magic under control, but this could help in the meantime.
Really? That'd be handy.
Aye. There's an armory at the Protectorate. They can make one. It'll take the night, but they'll do it.
For the God of War?
Aye. But for any member who needs it.
Is that me?
If you complete your training.
He turned off the car and met my gaze.
Which I hope you will.
Caro said it can be a real bitch. He grinned.
Of course. That's how you join the most elite secret organization in the world.
I'd expect nothing less. Chapter 5. We arrived at the portal in the Enchanted Forest, right as dusk was falling. We hadn't spoken much on the cab ride back to the portal in Magic's Bend, but I'd felt Cade's presence intensely. I was definitely interested, and he might have even returned the sentiment, which just made me more nervous and more curious. We set off toward the castle in silence. The path back through the woods was lit by the fairy lights, giving the place a romantic feel, which I did my damnedest to ignore. At the edge of the forest, Cade spoke.
I'll submit a request to the armory for your charm. If they start immediately, it should be done by morning. Once we have it, we'll head to Venice.
How will we get there? I hoped he had a transport charm. I didn't want to spend hours on a plane. Not with this deadline. He dug into the pocket of his battered leather jacket and withdrew a black stone. Jackpot. How are you getting so many of those? They were super rare because they were so hard to make.
I have a wizard contact, but I pay well.
Handy?
Very.
We walked up the path toward the castle. I called upon the connection charm that I had with my sister, feeling a tug toward the low buildings on the other side of the castle, near the wall. I pointed to them. What are those?
The stables. They're now used as garages and storage. If your sister recovered your vehicle, it'll be in there.
She's in there, too, if the buggy is. Probably working on it. I'm going to go check it out.
All right. If she's there, Caro will have shown her around a bit. If you need anything, there's a small office immediately to the right of the main foyer. They can help you.
You're just going to let me wander around unsupervised?
Aye. That's part of the trust thing I mentioned.
This was their home, technically. And probably full of all kinds of magic that I could nick. We weren't thieves. We earned our living honestly. But the fact that they would trust us? Kinda cool, even though I hated to admit it. Also, maybe a little stupid. But that didn't detract from the cool factor. How do you know you can trust us, though?
Our potential members are selected very carefully. It's not easy to get an invitation. It's an honor, really. But once you've been chosen, it's up to you to earn your place with your skill and training.
How are we chosen? You didn't even interview us.
That is a secret.
He grinned. He was a devastatingly handsome man, who looked like he fit right into the Scottish Highlands.
And if I told you, I'd have to kill you.
All right, then. I couldn't help my smile, even as I swore I'd figure out how we'd been chosen.
I'm off to the armory. I'll see you in the morning at 6, in the entry hall. We'll get started early.
Thanks. He nodded.
Thank you. We wanted to catch Ricketts for a long time.
As he walked away, I watched his very attractive backside stride off into the night. Nope. I spun around. Eyes on the prize, Bree. And my prize wasn't going to have anything to do with Cade's butt. My prize was going to be the cure for the Lithica poison and getting Ricketts off my back. As an added bonus, we'd get the buggy back. This would all work out. Somehow. I turned down the path toward the stables. The path and grounds were empty at this hour, probably because everyone was eating dinner. It was a beautiful evening, with the sun low near the mountains and the breeze light. Wildflowers rustled, and the castle rose tall in the distance. It was surreal to be walking around such a beautiful place. I liked it. The whole place felt magical. Not the everyday kind of magic that I lived with, but the kind that I'd always associated with castles and history. Fairy tale magic. And I was here. Agony exploded in my chest. I gasped and stumbled, barely keeping to my feet. My head swam as I sucked in shallow breaths, trying to get control of it. Oh, fates! This was getting bad. Just the idea of the Lithica poisoning turning my insides to stone made me cringe. I hoped Anna wasn't feeling the same thing. By the time I neared the stables, I could hear Anna cursing within. I pulled open the heavy door and stepped into the warmth, breathing in deeply the scent of engine oil. It overlaid the scent of hay and horses that still lingered. Nice. Hey. Anna stepped out from behind the buggy, which looked like a burned-out mess. Oh, hell! What happened to the buggy? I frowned and inspected it. Just like you thought, Ricketts sent more men, who lit it up with fireballs. Carol, Ollie, and Harris helped me drive them off, before they could destroy the whole thing. Then a seriously powerful transport mage helped us get it back. She patted the hood and scrubbed a cloth over her face, getting rid of some of the grease on her cheek. But I think it's mostly cosmetic. I can get it fixed up pretty soon. Really? Yeah, this old boy isn't doing so bad. She patted the bumper, as if to prove it, but the thing fell off and crashed to the ground. I winced. Going to take some work. No kidding. She nudged the bumper with her foot. It broke in two. Ouch. But at least we had it back. Caro, Ollie, and Harris helped you fight them off. Yep, pretty cool of them. Yeah, it had been part of the deal for us staying here, true, but I was glad they'd done it. Any time someone stuck their neck out for me was cool. How'd it go with you? Anna asked. I explained the lead. That sounds promising. She rubbed her chest. Because I'm really starting to feel it. I took the potion a few hours ago. It helped a bit. I think I'll take mine soon. I fingered the pain potion in my pocket. Not yet ready to take it. I feel good about this lead. And now that you have the buggy and can fix it up, things are looking hopeful for when we leave here. Yeah. Leave. Her expression was torn. You don't want to? No, I do. Totally. We're best on our own. But today didn't suck, Bree. Caro showed me around, and it's beautiful. And some people? Okay, a lot. Shot me suspicious looks. But Caro is really cool. And so are Ollie and Harris. This place has potential. Let's just get the cure and get Ricketts off our back first. Solid plan. Anna walked toward a wide table set up against the wall, and picked up a plate of sandwiches. She turned and offered it to me. Hungry? My stomach growled. Heck yeah, but where did these come from? Ollie brought them down. I took one and bit in, sighing happily at the taste. This was high-quality ham and cheese, not that crap we used to buy. I swallowed, then asked, Ollie, the same Jin who helped with the car? Yeah, he came to introduce himself better. You just missed him. And he brought food. I frowned. So what did he want in return? Anna's brows scrunched. Nothing, I don't think. Weird. He didn't hit on you? No, which is also weird. Huh. Someone had done something nice for nothing. Does not compute. So he just came down to say hi. I couldn't wrap my freaking mind around it. Yeah, and he figured that since the lights were still on, I'd miss dinner. I chomped on the sandwich, mulling the whole thing over. Then I shrugged. Some people were weird. The door creaked open and I turned. Caro poked her head in. Hey, want to come to the pub? The pub? I asked. Yeah, you know, place you drink. She made a drinking motion. Everyone's going. It's Friday night. You should come. Us? Anna asked. Yeah, dummy. You're part of the group now. Come on. We haven't even done training yet, or officially accepted. You will. Training will kick your ass, but you'll be official soon enough. So come on. I looked at Anna. Her slightly confused expression mirrored my own feelings. We were like freaking feral cats, not trusting that anyone would just want to be nice. It made me uncomfortable. But I was also weird. I'd seen TV. I knew that not everyone was like us. And Caro was so genuine. I'm pretty beat, I said. Oddly, regret winged in my chest. And I have a big day tomorrow. Yeah, same, Anna said. It's only 6:15, Caro said. Come for an hour, meet some people. If you're going to stick around, you'll want to know the others. But we weren't going to stick around. Except that the offer did sound really nice. Hanging out with other people? Friendly people? I looked at Anna, noticing how torn she looked. She wanted to go too, even though it was so weird for us. An hour, I said. But then I need to rest up for tomorrow. Great! Caro turned and left, shouting behind her, Come on! Okay, this is nuts. Anna scrubbed the rest of the grease off her face and grabbed half a sandwich. But I'm kinda psyched. Is that weird? We can just be normal for a little while, I said. We didn't party much, and it was tempting to just go have fun. Especially when I was worried about the poison. We followed Caro outside. The two Jin waited, kicking a hacky sack around. Are those two always playing? I asked. Pretty much. At the sound of our voices, the guys looked up and grinned. Hey! Ollie stepped forward. Good to see you. Harris grinned and waved. Something about the guys made them feel familiar. Warm, almost. It was weird. I didn't want to like this place so much, or these people. But I did. Come on, this way. Caro led us down the path toward the enchanted forest. Where's the pub? Anna asked. In Edinburgh, we'll take a portal, Ollie said. Cool. I glanced at Caro. So, you really like it here? Love it. She gazed around the grounds, her eyes shining. I was skeptical at first, too. I had a good thing going, working as a mercenary in Magic Spend. But this is way better. And I hear they're really excited to have you on board. You must be important. I laughed. Doubtful. Dangerous, then, she said. Probably that. I looked at her. She changed out of her battle attire, which had been all black leather, into jeans and a black t-shirt. But you're pretty deadly, too. What are you? Half water sprite, half demon. Ah, Anna said. That's why you can shoot water that will cut straight through a person. Caro wiggled her fingers. Yep. We passed a man with tired eyes and flyaway blonde hair. His pale skin was creased with stress wrinkles, and his clothes looked like they could use a good wash. Hey, Stanley, Caro said. He just grunted, absent-minded. Stanley's always been a bit in the clouds, Caro said. Likes to wander the mountains most of the time. Not content in his work here? I asked. I think he likes it, but he's a magical theorist. They spend a lot of time with their minds elsewhere. A magical theorist? This place had everything. We kept chatting as we walked down the path toward the forest. It was friendly and nice. Ollie liked weird sports like frisbee golf and curling, while Harris was into computers. Caro just seemed cool in general, with a penchant for talking about old battles and music. Pretty bad music, but who was I to judge? My favorite song was Mississippi Squirrel Revival. Anna and I kept shooting each other bemused glances. We knew that people behaved like this, but we'd never experienced it. Death Valley Junction was full of criminals, so our social scene had been way different. Like, non-existent. This kind of easy friendship and acceptance was unusual. Caro led us through the pretty forest, down the path surrounded by gnarled old trees. The lights led the way, and little creatures skittered through the underbrush. Something with large eyes peered out at me. Terrier mouse, Caro said. Cute and creepy at the same time. I've heard they'll grant wishes if you can catch them. No one's ever caught one, though, Ali said. But there's loads of magical creatures in the forest. After the walls were built, it became a sanctuary for them. That's awesome. I'd always hated that magical creatures and non-magical creatures alike were threatened, with more becoming extinct every year as development grew. The fact that this was also a sanctuary was awesome. Oh, this place was so cool, it was killing me. We stopped in the clearing near the portals. Magic pulsed against my skin. Come on! Caro stepped through the portal. I followed, gasping at the feel of the ether sucking me in. It was a short, whirlwind ride through space. Then it spit me out in the middle of a bustling city street. Magical signatures buffeted me from all directions. Immediately, I pressed my back against the nearest wall, scouting my surroundings. Beneath the golden street lamps, the street heaved with supernaturals of all species. Shifters, mages, fae, and even a few demons, who shouldn't actually be walking the earth. They all bustled down the sidewalk, splitting off into pubs and shops. Wings and tails and feathers were out in full force, and no one's magic was dampened. Though I scouted for a threat, none came up. This was just a hell of a lot of people out for a Friday night. Festival, Ollie groaned. I forgot. What's that? Anna asked. The humans have a big culture festival in August. The city becomes a madhouse. About 10 years ago, the supernaturals decided they should be partying just as hard. So now they hit the grass market hard during festival time. Caro caught sight of the confused look on my face and grinned. The grass market is what this neighborhood is called. It's the old supernatural zone of Edinburgh. A powerful spell diverts humans from coming here. Cool. Slowly, I relaxed my fight stance and took in my surroundings. The buildings were old and the street cobbled. To my left, a steep staircase led up through an alley, rising over 100 feet. The Royal Mile is that way, Ollie said. Human zone. He leaned right and pointed up the main cobbled street. The castle is there. I leaned out and looked, catching sight of a hulking castle sitting on a craggy cliff over 200 feet tall. Suddenly, bagpipes blared through the air, coming from the castle. It was freaking amazing. There was so much here. Nothing like Death Valley. Very Scottish, Anna said. Wait till you have the haggis. Caro grinned. I'll start with a drink. I looked around. Which way to the pub? Right this way. Caro darted out into the crowd of people and sailed along with them. I joined the masses, easily keeping sight of her platinum head. She led us to a little pub called the Lidford Inn, ducking low to get in through the little door. I followed. The interior was warm and welcoming. Little rooms branched out from the tiny entry, and we went left, heading into a room with a small bar and a low ceiling supported by beams that looked like tree trunks that had been painted black. A fire burned in the fireplace at the back, and supernaturals were crowded around little tables. Despite the welcoming feel of the place, I kept my guard up. Old habits died hard. For good reason, in this case. The gleaming wooden bar was set up near the entrance. There was a trendy young woman at the counter, filling pints and pouring scotch. I glanced at Anna. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah. I didn't want to be impressed, but I was a country mouse at heart. A deadly country mouse, to be fair, but I'd spent most of my life in rural towns. The fact that this place was just a step away from the Protectorate's home base was amazing. Come on, I've got the first round. Caro led the way up to the bar. I squeezed in next to her, leaning on the shining wooden surface and surveying my options. Golden bottles decorated the shelves behind the bartender. Lots of scotch, but also a few colorful ones that called to me. The bartender came over, wiping her hands on a white towel and smiling.
What'll it be, Caro?
Hey, Sophie. 3 pints of Tennent's. Caro looked at me and Anna. You? Something sweet? An umbrella would be ideal, but this didn't seem like the kind of place. A pink squirrel? Sophie asked. Sounds perfect. I had no idea what that was, but I loved me a sweet or fruity cocktail, and the sillier the name, the better. So pink squirrel fit the bill. I'll have a beer, Anna said. Sophie nodded and went to fill the orders. Caro pulled her wallet from her pocket. I pulled out mine, but Caro laid a hand on my arm. I've got this one. No way, I said. We can pay our own way. At least for a few drinks. Literally down to what was in my wallet, basically. And maybe it was a bad idea to spend that money. But a tiny bit of fun, for exactly 1 hour, wouldn't hurt. You get the next round, and just put it on your tab.
I have a tab?
Yeah, now that you work for the Protectorate. This is our place. Sophie runs a tab for each of us that is paid off automatically on payday.
Our place. I like the sound of that.
The bars back in Death Valley Junction had been the territory of grouchy old men. This was way better. Nice system. I accepted the pink squirrel with a smile. Thanks. Caro introduced us to Sophie and told her to set up an account. I shared a glance with Anna. This place might be pretty hard to leave, actually, if we survived Ricketts's poison. Caro led us toward the back of the pub, where several small tables were pushed into a line. A group was crowded around one side, leaving seats for the rest of us. We sat, and Caro introduced us. Names flew too fast for me to keep up with, and people were from all different divisions. While some of the details went in one ear and out the other, it was a good time. The suspicious looks I'd been getting were being replaced with smiles. After about 30 minutes, I leaned toward Caro.
So, does Kate ever come out?
Nah, he's a loner, and too busy fighting in battles and all that.
Battles?
Yeah. God of war? He'll travel the world, fighting on the side he thinks is right.
Wow.
Yeah. He made a load of money as an elite mercenary early on, so now he works for the Protectorate and volunteers. For war. He has a nice apartment somewhere around here, but I've never snagged an invite. Her gaze widened on something behind me.
Speak of the devil!
I turned to look. Cade had just stepped inside the bar, his dark hair windswept and his thin sweater molding nicely over his shoulders. I swallowed hard, my mouth suddenly dry. His head turned toward us. Before we could make eye contact, I whipped my head back around to face my friends. Heat warmed my cheeks, which did not fit with my otherwise badass persona.
Hmm.
Caro's eyebrows wiggled. I wonder what he's doing here. Anna's eyes darted between Caro and me.
What?
What did I miss?
Well, Cade and Bree spent the day together. Fighting, bonding while fighting, as one does. Carol grinned widely. And suddenly here he is, at the bar he never visits, to hang out with people he doesn't like.
I have no idea what you're talking about, I said.
Would you get me another drink? Carol asked. Before I could answer, I felt my chair get shoved back. I flailed and nearly tipped over, righting myself at the last moment and realizing that Carol had pushed my stool out with her foot.
Sneaky?
But I smiled at her. It was good to have another friend. It made me miss Rowan, but it was good. Anna and Ollie both gave eyebrow waggles. Harris caught sight of them, and though he didn't seem to know what they were waggling about, he joined in too. Okay, the good would wear off quick if those three didn't quit it. I turned and went to the bar, sidling up next to Cade. His stormy scent twined around me, making my eyes flutter. I snapped them open.
Get it together!
This was the perfect opportunity to make it clear, to myself mostly, that this was just professional. Any wayward hormones I had regarding this guy, this god, were to be ignored and avoided. I was going to prove it right now. Cade looked down at me, his full lips picking up at the side.
I heard you were coming out. What can I get you?
Nothing, thanks, I said. I'm going back in 30 minutes. Need to be up bright and early tomorrow.
True enough.
Carol invited us. Said it'd be good to meet some people if we were going to stick around.
She's right. That's a good group of people.
Deadly people. Their magical signatures have been intense. It really was an elite team. Sophie came to get his order, and I passed Carol's along as well. She didn't even ask me for my name again. Just set up a tab. I hoped the Protectorate would pay for it when I left. Then felt a bit guilty immediately. I didn't like to take things that weren't mine. I'd have to sort this out somehow. While we waited, I looked up at Kate. So, I heard you don't come here often.
There was incentive.
His voice was slightly rougher than normal. Like what?
I was thirsty.
The slight heat in his gaze suggested that he wasn't thirsty for just whiskey. Did he mean me? I shivered, leaning closer to him. Then I pulled back, trying to be subtle about it. Because, nope, I wasn't going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole. Relationships had always made me uncomfortable. Not to mention, the pickings had been slim in Death Valley Junction. And we weren't sticking around anyway. I especially couldn't get involved with someone as hot and powerful as Cade. It'd be too hard to keep my wits about me. Here you go. Sophie's voice broke the spell that had bound Cade and I together. I stepped back, cheeks slightly flushed, and turned to her. Thanks. I grabbed the drinks and looked up at Cade. Good to see you. Then I hightailed it out of there. I delivered the drinks to my friends without looking back once.
You blew that one, Carol said.
It went exactly how I wanted it to go. I sipped my pink squirrel. Well, if it were me, I'd have wanted it to end out back in the alley. Harris and Ollie laughed. I choked on my pink squirrel.
What? I know how to go for what I want, Carol said.
All right, Dirty Spice.
Ollie patted her on the shoulder. My jaw dropped. Was that a Spice Girls joke?
What?
Ollie asked.
Too dated?
I held up my hand, thumb and forefinger pinched almost all the way together.
Just a little bit.
But you do you. He saluted, grinning. Cade had found a seat at another table across the room. Within a few minutes, a dangerous-looking dude joined him. A friend? So maybe he hadn't come here to see me after all. But every now and again, the side of my neck felt warm. Whenever I glanced over, he wasn't looking at me. But I wasn't convinced that he hadn't been looking at me. We spent the next 20 minutes drinking and chatting. And frankly, I really enjoyed it. Like, a lot.
Whatever happened from here on out, it was nice to have friends like this. A community. Too bad it wouldn't last.
Chapter 6
Caro escorted us back to the Protectorate around 8, leaving everyone else out to party. By the time we stepped out of the portal into the forest, I was truly dead tired. It wasn't even dark yet, and I thought I could sleep for 12 hours. "Thank you so much," I said. "No problem," she grinned. "I'll show you to your room." She led us up to the castle and through the main entry, then up the curved stairs to the second floor. As we walked, a high-pitched barking sounded. A second later, three small dogs raced down the stairs on either side of us. But they were ghosts. But one had wings, the other devil horns, and the last had really long fangs. I did a double take. "What are they?" Caro grinned. "They're chaos, ruckus, and mayhem. Collectively known as the Pugs of Destruction. They lived here for centuries." I turned to watch them sprint through the main entry, nails clicking on the floor. "They can cause problems even though they're ghosts. They're professionals." "All right, then." I continued up the stairs. She led us down a long hallway into a quiet part of the castle, then into a large room with two double beds. "This is temporary. If you decide to stay, you'll each get your own tower apartment. I've put some spare clothes in the dresser. When you get a chance, you can go shopping for more. I know some good shops in Magic Spend in Edinburgh." "Thanks." From here, the bed looked divine. We said goodnight, and I was in bed within 5 minutes. I was extremely proud of the fact that I'd found the energy to brush my teeth in the little ensuite bathroom. I stared up at the ceiling. "This is an upgrade, huh?" "Yeah," Anna said from the bed next to me. "I kinda like it here." A pale glow lit the room. I sat up and looked at the foot of the bed. A ghost pug stared at me, his face scrunched. His little wings quivered. "Pug of Destruction, huh?" He woofed, then farted. I sighed. I loved dogs. Hated dog farts. Couldn't have one without the other, even if the dog had been dead for hundreds of years. I patted the bed near my hip. "You can sleep next to me if you point your butt in the other direction." The dog trundled up and laid down. Then farted again. I smiled, then flopped back on the bed. "Yeah, Hannah. I kinda like it here, too." Ghost dog. Mayhem, chaos, or ruckus. I wasn't sure which. Woofed again. "I can't believe they chose us," Anna said. "Me neither." I yawned, hoping I'd be ready to face the day tomorrow, that it'd bring us a cure. "Night, Anna." "Night, Bree." The scream tore into my dreams. For a moment, I was back in Death Valley, tearing across the desert on top of the buggy, fighting off the shrieking bats that lived in the middle of Carter's Canyon. The beasts were 10 feet long and howled right before striking with their giant fangs. My sword always got a great workout there. But then it came again, and this time, the scream was distinctly human. My heart leapt into my throat, and my eyes popped open. Darkness. I flew out of bed, stumbling briefly over my borrowed clothes. "Anna, are you okay?" "I'm fine." She leapt out of bed. "What's that?" "No idea." The light of the ghostly pug lit the room. He stood by the door, quivering, then darted through. I raced after him into the hall. The stone was probably cold on my bare feet, but I didn't notice as I raced down the hall, Anna at my side. The pug led the way, a weird little warrior who growled deep in his throat. Somehow, it should have been silly. But terror and the dog's seriousness quashed any humor. As we ran, I drew my sword from the ether, and Anna drew her throwing daggers. Though we each had an arsenal stashed in the ether, these were our preferred weapons. Dim light glowed from the sconces on the wall, but we saw nothing unusual. Just golden light on the stone hallway. My heart thundered as we rounded the corner. I could feel some kind of dark magic on the air. Something that was vaguely familiar, but also not right. Not for the Protectorate. A dark streak on the wall caught my eye. Blood. And the ground beneath my feet was wet. My stomach dropped. I glanced down. Water. It gleamed clear. Thank fates. Then fear replaced belief. No! Only one person that I'd met here fought with water. Caro. I ran faster, soon catching sight of a figure collapsed on the ground. Platinum hair gleamed in the light of the sconces. Caro! My heart thudded. I skidded to a halt at her side, falling to my knees. Anna dropped down next to me, panting. Caro was lying on her front, arms splayed. I swallowed hard, trying to keep my fear from making my hands shake, and carefully turned her over. Anna protected her head from the stone floor. Caro's eyes were closed, and her jaw slack. Blood smeared her forehead from a wound, and a slice across her chest soaked her clothes with blood. My breath heaved, ice racing through me. Oh, shit. I tore off my shirt, not even caring that it left me in a tiny camisole. Magic hid the four-pointed star mark at the top of my spine, so I didn't have to worry about anyone seeing it. I pressed my shirt to the wound on her chest. Caro? Caro, can you hear me? I demanded. Her eyes fluttered open, gleaming silver. Confusion glinted in them. Then they cleared. You? Me? Run! Fear glinted in her eyes. No! I wouldn't leave her. I surprised him. She winced. Who? She sucked in a ragged breath, her cheeks so pale that she looked ghostly. Anna, hold the shirt. I'm going to go get help. I surged to my feet. Thundering footsteps sounded from behind. I turned. People poured into the hallway, pushing me aside. They crowded around Caro, kneeling to help. I stepped back, flattening myself against the wall. Anna joined me. We looked on, silent and worried. Not part of the group. Which was fair. We were new. But Caro? I liked her so much. Fates, would she be okay? And who had done this? As soon as they took Caro away to the infirmary, I found another shirt and immediately started looking for clues. Others were on the job as well, Ali and Harris among them, but I couldn't just do nothing. The attack had happened at 5 in the morning, meaning it was already light. The sleep I'd gotten gave me renewed energy, and I used it to scour the grounds, looking for whomever had broken in and hurt Caro. Unfortunately, the blood streaks had petered out and given us no clues, and there was no sign of the attacker themselves.
There's no way they could have found us,
Harris said, as we stood outside in the cold, near the forest.
We're blocked by a spell that keeps us entirely invisible to those who would seek the Protectorate. So how the hell did they get in?
Ali asked.
No idea.
Harris scrubbed his face, looking weary and sad.
In and out like a ghost. No trace.
I paced, my mind racing. The sun now shone, but the day would feel cold until I knew that Caro was better. This felt bad. Like somehow it was connected to me. When a bell sounded from the top of the castle's highest tower, I spun around.
That's our cue, Ali said. Meeting time.
We hurried back. My heart thundered as we entered the entry hall. Dozens of people were crowded around, dressed in a variety of clothes, ranging from club wear to nightgowns. Many of them turned suspicious gazes on me and Anna. New girls? Anna grabbed my hand and squeezed. Cade descended the main stairs, his gaze worried, then gestured us forward.
Rhee and Anna, come. The meeting is about to begin.
Oh, shit. But I nodded, stepping forward. I wanted answers, and maybe they needed our testimony after finding her. The crowd parted to let us pass. I felt every stare. I race to catch up with Kate on the stairs. How is Caro?
Not well.
But not dead. I take it. She'll recover?
Aye. She's tough.
Cade led us down a winding hallway toward a large circular room. There was a huge round table and six people within, but my gaze went straight to Caro, who sat in a large chair with a blanket wrapped around her. She was still pale and weak-looking, but her head wound was bound, and I couldn't see her chest wound under her shirt. At least the cloth wasn't bloody. Immediately, I went to her, ignoring the others in the room. "Are you all right?" "Fine," she croaked. "Had worse than this a dozen times." "She insisted on coming," Hetty said. "She should be in bed."
"Can't keep me down," Caro said.
A small smile tugged at my lips, and I turned to inspect the room. Besides Cade and Caro, the five leaders of the divisions were here. I sat next to Anna, worry spreading through my chest like tar.
"Do you feel well enough to tell us what happened?"
asked Jude, the one with the star eyes, who led the paranormal investigative team. I gripped the armrest of my chair and looked at Caro. She sucked in a ragged breath and began.
"I wasn't the one he wanted. I shouldn't have even been on that side of the castle, but I couldn't sleep."
"And you ran into a man there?"
Jude asked. "Yes, he was going toward Bree and Anna's room. They're the only ones in that wing. I just ran into him, coming around the corner. He slammed me into the wall and got me with his dagger. By the time I realized he wasn't from the Protectorate..." She shook her head. "That guy was fast. But before he could finish me, I got off one shot. Hit him right in the middle."
"It was enough,"
Cade said.
"He ran for it. There was no trace of him, other than blood and the transportation charm that he dropped."
"Transportation charm?" I asked.
"Yes. Marked with Ricketts' signature mark."
"Oh, no. Ricketts."
Horrified, I turned wide eyes toward Anna, then the rest of the group. "He was after us." Guilt stabbed me.
"I'm so sorry."
Caro shook her head.
"Don't be."
"How did he get in?"
Anna asked.
"Stanley said the man found him while he was outside the walls, tracking moonflowers,"
Jude said. Stanley, the man with the flyaway hair that we'd seen earlier today. The absent-minded one.
"He enchanted Stanley and forced him to help him through the gate,"
Jude continued.
"We found Stanley near the wall, the enchantment still on him. He remembered nothing but what the man had made him do." "But that doesn't explain how the intruder initially found the castle."
Kay's voice was different than I'd ever heard it. Harsh. Businesslike.
"This place is hidden. He shouldn't have even made it to this mountain."
"They found us because Bree and Anna are imbued with the most powerful tracking charms I've ever seen. They defeated even our concealment charms."
Hetty's gaze was steady on ours, as if she were watching us to see if we knew anything about this. Jude was giving us the eagle eye as well. Since my heart and mind had just dropped to the floor in shock and horror, I think I passed her test.
"How?"
I whispered. "How is that even possible?" Anna gripped my hand.
"When Ricketts puts a concealment charm on you, did he use your blood?"
Hetty asked. I nodded, remembering the procedure like it was yesterday. Charms could be placed several ways, just like curses. Some were imbued in objects or delivered in a liquid, but particularly strong ones were placed upon the person themselves by using their blood. Only a blood sorcerer could do it, and the process was pretty dang creepy. Hetty nodded.
"As I thought. It took a while to run the tests on the sample of strange magic that I found on you yesterday. After the attack, I checked the test and found that Ricketts added a parasite charm. One that piggybacked on the concealment charm that you actually paid for. The tracking charm."
My stomach lurched.
"Oh, no."
Anna clutched her head. "It ensured he'd always get his payment out of us. The intruder managed to find this place because they were looking for us. This place was just a bonus."
Wow, I felt like shit.
Well done, Jude nodded. On your deductions, at least. Not on leading a predator here.
I swallowed hard, my throat suddenly tight. I'd led a predator here. Me? I had done that to Caro. I had to fix it.
It's odd that they go into such lengths to find you over a debt, Jude said. Whoever broke in meant to use that transportation charm to abduct you, we think.
She was right. Ricketts was throwing everything at us. Attacks, Lithica poison, kidnappers who could snatch us out of the air.
Do you have any idea why?
Kate asked. It's a lot of money.
Lie.
Though it was, in fact, a lot of money, this had to be something else. This type of enthusiasm on his part indicated a remarkable shift. Did he know what we were? How could he? Even we didn't really know. Just that we were something weird and powerful, and that changes were coming.
Kate and I think he's in Venice, I said. I'm going after them.
We'll leave soon, Kate said.
I'm coming, Anna said.
Jude nodded at Kate and me, then leaned forward toward Anna.
Actually, we have a plan that you could help with. You have the charm on you as well. So, we'll set you up in a safe house with guards. If they come for you again, we'll catch them. We need to spread this net as far as we can.
She's bait?
I almost shrieked the words. Anna gripped my arm.
Chill, dude. I'll be fine.
She nodded, clearly starting to like the plan.
It's actually a good idea. We need to find him. Fast. Or we're dead, too.
If this means we can catch a goon and find out where Ricketts is, it's worth it. You know I can handle this.
I scowled at her. She scowled back. Then I sighed and nodded. If she let me do dangerous shit without too much nagging, I owed her the same.
Family. And she was right. If this lead didn't pan out, we'd need her. I looked at Jude. There will be guards on Anna?
Lots of guards.
Over 2 dozen, Jude said. We'll pull out all the stops. This is our chance to get him. And you're on our team now. We've got your back.
I nodded, both liking this and hating it.
Cade met my gaze.
We're going to have to kill Ricketts when we find him. As long as he lives, the Trekken charm will be active on you. Which means you can't return here unless he is dead.
I nodded. I was an unwitting mole. A time bomb inside the place that had offered me a job and what might be a decent life. Just because I wasn't sure if I wanted that life didn't mean I wanted to hurt this place. Especially considering that the world needed the undercover protectorate.
Chapter 7. After the meeting, I said goodbye to Anna.
Be safe, okay? We'll catch him, and this will all be over.
Same. Watch out for yourself. And I love you, nerd.
Back at you, double nerd. I turned to Cade. Ready?
Yes. We'll stop at the armory to get that charm. Then we're off.
I followed him toward the main stairs, down into the main hall, and then down another wide hall that was paneled with purple silk above dark wood wainscoting. Magic hit me hard in the chest as we walked. An amazing signature. It felt like joy and strength, all rolled into one. It was so powerful that it almost made me feel like I was floating.
What is that? I asked.
He searched for an answer.
You'll find out eventually. It's not my place.
Does this place have a lot of secrets?
Yes. Not many bad ones, though.
He led me through a heavy door and down wide stairs into the basement.
You aren't locking me up, are you?
I hesitated on the stairs. Was this actually punishment for unwittingly bringing the attacker here? Cade stopped abruptly and turned, still towering over me, despite the fact that he was on the lower stair. His gaze was intense.
No, Bree. I promise. We will not turn on you here. If you don't make the grade, you won't be able to stay. If you do something terrible, there could be disciplinary action, but there'd be a trial. We won't just throw you in the dungeon without warning. We're not the Order of the Magicka.
My shoulders relaxed. I didn't